And you caught it first on the wave.
Catch the wave on the NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Gospel music and catch the wave on the NFI.
Welcome back to the NFI Radio Gospel Network. We are live from the NFI studios here on a beautiful Monday, and we want to welcome you.
Through your hands faster than water. You micromanage it, you fret over it, you rearrange it, and then you watch it disappear. There's a thief behind that disappearing act of time, and it's
the world, the people, our children, the school, the church, the government. Where are we headed in this society? Join us on To Beat the Odds, the number one talk show on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, with a live panel of men and women speaking on various topics. Back with us from Fort Washington, Maryland, it's Reverend Robert E. Ellison, the author of The Biblical Insight of Coping with Chaos. Also joining us from Florida, Mr. L.A. He is an instructor for men and women, helping them and teaching them how to build their own solar energy home around the world. Also joining us out of Greensboro, North Carolina, he is a mentor for the young men's in Greensboro, Mr. Michael Booker. She's from Raleigh, North Carolina, Elder Curry Harris, pastor of Word of Deliverance Ministry. Joining us also from Gunner, North Carolina, Pastor Rayshon McCoy, pastor of the Berean Holy Temple Church. Also joining us, he's been with the National Guard numerous of years. From Kinston, North Carolina, Mr. Gary Gardner. Let's talk about it. Real facts. The government, the White House, the church, the school, the jobs, society, and the people around the world. Where are we headed at this time? Are these perilous times? We'll be right back with the topic right here on To Beat the Odds, the number one talk show on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, right after this.
What if there was an airline that let you bring up to 4 bags for free? There isn't. But there is Amtrak, where your first 4 bags are free, and you travel with no middle seats and first-class legroom. Break the travel quo with Amtrak.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pray that everyone is well.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, we're going to get started, and thank you for joining us again this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Booker if you could lead us in a word of prayer.
Absolutely, Reverend Kearney. Father, we thank you today for another opportunity to get up on, Lord, the broadcast, and I pray that you would help us to say what you would have us to say. Help us to speak your word with clarity, accuracy, and sensitivity to you, Holy Spirit. And Father, it's a privilege and an honor, Lord, that we are able to speak today to your people. And I pray that they may be empowered and enlightened. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, I want to thank all of you so much, and many of you know we are here to speak on various topics each and every Monday at 9:30 a.m. And this morning we've got the continuation of last week's discussion, How Can You Tell That You Have a Discerning Spirit? And we were so much enjoying last week's broadcast, and we decided to continue on with this topic. All right, well, look, I'm going to go ahead and start it off, and I had spoke last week. I was going to share there were three depths that was I felt that was definitely an important part for those to know about a discerning spirit. And I want you all to hear this at this time. And we're going to elaborate on that and some other things that you all would love to share. Listen to this.
There are three levels of discernment, and understanding this is going to help us grow in our gift of discernment. The first level is natural perception. The dictionary defines discernment as the ability to judge well. So at the most basic level of discernment, we can see the external of what's happening. We also have wisdom and perception about what's taking place behind the scenes. The writer to the Hebrews says that a mark of Christian maturity is to train ourselves through constant use to distinguish or discern good from evil. And the second level of discernment is a heightened ability to discern. I often hear from people who are having a difficult time with this, and they don't know what to do about what they're perceiving and sensing. Those with this discernment ability usually are tuned into people's motives. They may be able to perceive what's happening in the spiritual realm, sensitive to spiritual atmospheres and atmospheres in general. They may be able to discern the demonic realm and so on. The Bible tells us there's a spiritual gift of discernment of spirits, a gift of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. And this brings us to the third level of discernment, because anyone can see what is happening in the natural realm, and some people do have the ability to see in the spiritual realm. But there's another level of discernment, again, for those who will, as the Bible says, follow the way of love. And that is to see from God's viewpoint. The third level of discernment is available to those who are walking in relationship with God. And when your ability to discern is in the Holy Spirit and based in the Father's love, it will truly be a gift. The fruit of your discernment will not be fear. It won't be suspicion. It's going to be life-giving. It's going to bring freedom, transformation. It'll build the church, draw people to Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus took the disciples on a visit to a place called the Gerasenes, where a demonized man was living among the tombs. On a level of natural perception, people could see that demoniac was crazy, out of his mind, and dangerous. Someone with discernment could see that he was being influenced and controlled by demons. Jesus went to him, not only with discernment, he went with the eyes, heart, and mind of the Father. He saw a man afflicted by demons, but he saw beyond that to a man destined to be a worshipper, a disciple, and an evangelist. And what he saw, his Father's intention, is what took place. He set that man free and sent him away with the good news about what God had done. When our eyes are focused on what God is doing, our gift of discernment can grow to a powerful level. We can speak and act accordingly as Jesus did.
Praise God, praise God. I want you to hear that because she spoke about she was speaking about the knowing to judge well. And many times we make a decision to move, and we move at the wrong time, and we talked about that a little bit last week. And then she spoke about, and I'm not going to speak on the second one because you guys heard it. I'm just trying to flow through it right quickly as I can. But the last one she spoke about was number three, was to see from God's viewpoint. Reverend Ellison.
Yes.
What do you think of that last one, number three, she said, to see from God's viewpoint?
Oh, that means everything, seeing it from God's viewpoint. Because if we don't see things from God's viewpoint, then we're lost. It's so important, and I could identify with everything that was said just now. I've experienced this many times. One of my own spiritual gifts has to be, it is the discerning of spirits. And if I could, I'd like to share real quickly of an experience I had a few years ago. I was visiting a church, and I was there to hear another a speaker. And there were two ladies that were sitting on the stage, and there was something about them that just did not seem right. And I never met these ladies before. They were there, I guess, in support of the speaker. But something in my spirit told me that their spirit was not quite right. And so I mentioned it to a couple of people afterwards. And they said, well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because those same two ladies that you saw were trying to oust the particular pastor of that church at that time. But they failed at doing that. So that the spirit that they carried, I was able to discern by way of my particular spiritual gift. Sometimes God will alert you to things. You don't necessarily have to act on it, but it's a way of being equipped to respond and to make good choices, good decisions, just as what's being spoken about in the recording. It's the ability to judge well. And sometimes you will have to act on, or you need to act on, what God is telling you by way of your gifting. And the only way that you can be effective in your gifting is to have direct relationship with God the Father. You have to be connected to Jesus. Let him abide in you as you abide in him. And that's the key. This is so important. So very, very important. So I'm just going to leave it there for the, you know, for now. But I'll talk more about it if, you know, you should come back to me.
Thank you so much, Reverend Ellison. I thank you again. You know, she was talking about the third one, and it's just so much. In the third one, because she even spoke about following the Holy Spirit and knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst at that time. Brother Booker, I know you know about that Holy Spirit. It's all in there, and Reverend Ellison said it's all there, but she was also talking about it's basically walking in the spirit realm, looking beyond the natural eye, and she used describing that man that had that damned cell spirit over him. And Jesus approached him. He did not see him as he was. He looked beyond the outward man and went to that was causing him to act that way, and he spoke that word. Many times we see people that's homeless. We walk by them as if they are no one, and, you know, we don't reach out to them. How do you feel, express your viewpoint concerning going beyond the natural man?
Well, you know, Reverend Kearney, you know, I think she was talking about the demoniac of Gadara, and Jesus seeing him, Jesus seeing who he really was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else seeing his condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was possessed with demonic spirit, and everybody else seeing his condition, but Jesus seeing who he really was. He seen past his condition. He seen past the things in his life that were killing him, the things in his life that were destroying him. And when you allow God to use you, and when you see through God's eyes, when you have that kind of discernment, you know, that kind of discernment really comes with a great measure of grace and mercy, Reverend Kearney. It comes with a great measure of grace and mercy, because Jesus could have easily written him off like everybody else and said, you know, okay, this guy's full of demons, you know, he needs to be done away with, you know, it's good that he's cast away from everybody else and just leave him over there to his own devices, but he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But he saw someone that could be what he called them to be. He didn't make a judgment call on him. What he made on him was the perspective that this is someone that I created. This is someone that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the potential in them. I see what they could be. And Reverend Kearney, you know, a lot of times, these are spaces and areas we have to grow into. These things don't happen overnight. Getting this type of discernment does not happen overnight. It comes along with maturing in life. It comes along with growing as an individual, growing as a person. When you can see, when you got the discernment to see past a person, when you can see past the things that a person is going through in life, and you realize that, wow, they can really be somebody. We see that potential. That's the place we need to get to, Reverend Kearney. That's the place we got to get to. That's that place of maturity where we need to get to. We need to get to that place, because so many times we write people off. We write them off, and we don't know what they've been through. We see what they're going through, but we don't know what they've been through.
Amen.
So if we can get to that place, we'll be doing really good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Booker. Ella Hirsch, I know that you were one of those that reached out there downtown, and you've seen people, you've reached them out, and you went in the area where they stayed overnight and slept out there on the benches and out there downtown Raleigh, and you experienced some of that, and you understand the importance of going beyond seeing them as they are, but going and seeing them with the eyes of Jesus, as Brother Booker said. And you want to share on that?
Well, yes, good morning, and thank you for having me today. You know, there's a lot of hurting people, and I think if you've been hurt in your life, there's something that will connect when you see another person that's hurting. They can have a smile on their face, but it's something in their eyes that's dead. And the whole face is dead regardless to the smile that's on their face. But I found out this: the more I stay in the Word of God, the more I have been able to see those things that's in front of me. And those people, a lot of them would not come into the service that we were having in the park. Some would stand behind bushes and peep out every once in a while. Some would sit over maybe 30, 40 feet away, and, you know, I got a big mouth, so you could hear me a whole block away. They would sit and listen. But sometime I would be able to pick up on preachers that had fallen away because they had what I call church hurt. And I could tell that they were a preacher. Some of them had been preachers that God called, but they had never taken a step forward. Some people have decided, well, I'm not going to church because those people in there, all they do is hurt you. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, and that's why we call it discerning of the Spirit, because if the Spirit of God is in somebody else, he will stand up and you will know it because of the Spirit of God that's in you.
Amen.
Amen. You were speaking, you said it would lead you and guide you, and you know, I listened to you, and the important part of all of it, like you were saying, lead you and guide you, not only it would just guide you, but it into all truth. And that's what happens many times. Many people rather believe a lie than the truth, and that's what the Word let us know. But the truth, the Holy Spirit, you'll know it's the presence of God, because it will lead you into all truth. And there are so many false prophets out there, and so much going on that sometimes we get off focus and get distracted and get caught up with the affairs of this world. Brother L.A. out in Florida, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. I know you want to share some comments.
When it comes to discernment, just that, I guess, intuition, inner feeling. I mean, that's how I interpret it or define it. Sometimes it's, you know that you know, although from outside appearances it might not seem logical. But if you follow that discernment in that particular situation, at least for me, things usually work out. Sometimes you might not know, though, to take certain actions. So, I mean, it's an infinite amount of ways that discernment can play out. That's about as much as I can simplify it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, L.A. All right. Well, look, we're going to get back with the topic and the discussion. We're going to take a 30-second break. I promise you, 30 seconds. Very good. I'm enjoying it thus far, and I pray that everyone that's tuned in this morning. Again, you can express your opinion at 347-215-8049. We'll be right back right after this important message right here on To Beat the Odds, the number one talk show on the NL5 Radio Gospel Network.
New Directions Unlimited offers customized travel services and specializes in river cruises to destinations around the world. Find us online at newdirectionsunlimited.com or call 919-570-0232 to speak with a New Directions Unlimited travel concierge. Begin your journey to the experience of a lifetime and make lasting memories. New Directions Unlimited. See the world. Discover self. Travel.
You've got the hottest DJ in the game coming through your speakers.
The People's Station.
Welcome back to Beat the Odds, the number one talk show here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. And this morning's discussion on the topic is how can I tell that I have a discerning spirit? And we have some awesome men and women of God that's joining back with us this morning. I don't know if the last number, 2484, if you have a comment at this time, 2484, you can express your comment at this time if you'd like to share.
Yes, Brother Kearney, this is Elijah Free calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. And to Brother Booker, to you and your guests, just thank God for what you're talking about, because we need discernment in this day and time. The way I look at discernment is from the scripture point of view, it is supernatural insight and supernatural wisdom that comes from God. It's supernatural because God is a supernatural God. Discernment goes beyond human intuition. Discernment goes beyond the natural conscious of mankind. Because true discernment, when you look at the scripture, when it talks about the gift of discerning of spirits, he's talking about also the gift of being able to see things behind the natural realm. Because lots of times when we view things, we're looking in the natural realm. But because you are born again, if you're a child of God, God gives you a spiritual eye and a natural eye. And sometimes those things in the spiritual realm are invisible to the natural eye, to the natural man. And so God, because of his Holy Spirit, he has given us supernatural insight, things that's going on in this world. But you've got to be able to be in tune with what God is showing you, because God is always showing, he's always speaking, but we've got to be always in tune with him, always listening, and always humbling ourselves to be able to discern the truths that God is releasing at this time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you
Amen.
So much. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, look, again, for those of you, if you'd like to express your comment, a viewpoint, 347-215-8049. We are live here from the studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, on a wonderful day. All right. Brother Booker, well, before you speak, Brother Booker, Reverend Ellison, I know you're there in Fort Washington, Maryland, and I know you're working on a couple of projects that you're posting on. But as you were listening at the clip that I played, I know you had another comment that you would like to give some insight on to others concerning the discerning spirit.
Yes, I would. First of all, I'd like to say how much I enjoyed listening to the previous caller. He was right on target with everything that was said. I'd just like to alert everyone that because we are in a spiritual battle and there are forces at work, demonic forces, angelic forces at work, we need to have more discernment than ever, because what's happening is you see things unfold today in the news and around us is those things being played out in the spirit. So whatever takes place in the spirit manifests itself here in the natural. And as they manifest themselves in the natural, and the story that the person that we listened to earlier on the clip that you played back, where it talks about the Gadarene demoniac, Jesus was able to look beyond the natural and determine what was going on in the spirit. So he has given us, as we are born again, as the caller said, as we are born again, we are given the Spirit of God that actually rests in the believer. And such as we carry his Spirit in us, as we abide in him and he abides in us, like I said earlier, we are gifted for service. And these gifts, they vary from one to the other, you know, whether it's the gift of speaking in tongues, whether it's the gift of discerning the spirits, the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy. These various gifts, as the Holy Spirit sees fit, he will, these gifts he will highlight in the individual, in the believer, for whatever the occasion, whatever the situation. But I believe that one of the basics is what we're talking about today, that every believer carries, and that is the spirit of discernment, to make correct judgments, to do what is right opposed to what is unrighteous. As God works in us, and as we study the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, the Spirit takes those things and he uses whatever you take in your life. And this is what makes the difference. Now, if you're not studying the Word of God, if you're not reading, if you're not abiding, then you have you're not at your full potential. God has given everyone unique potential. And I like what the previous caller said, that he used the word supernatural. That's exactly what it is. It enables us to go beyond the norm, beyond the what we perceive with the naked eye. And we are able to make not just correct judgments, but we're able – this is a guide that God has given us. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, Reverend Kearney, like you said before. Okay? As he leads and guides us into truth, it in turn causes us to prosper and to be more effective for the kingdom of God here on the earth. We're called to be salt and light. And as God empowers us, sometimes we have an unction of the Spirit, as was mentioned previously, to do those things that sometimes they don't seem natural. They can't be comprehended by, let's say, a person that's not born again. They cannot know these things because they do not possess the Spirit of God. They don't have the Spirit of God working in them. So it's so important that we all understand and realize that we are in a spiritual battle. And I'll say this last thing, and I'll close it with this. As we look at what's developing not only in our nation but around the world as far as the uprisings and upheavals, the demonstrations, the violence that's taking place, if you look past that, you'll understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual wickedness, powers in high places, darkness. So God has us here as children of the light, empowered by his Spirit. And then there are demonic forces that we are all up against. But understand that what we see with the naked eye is not all that there is to see. And so as we are led by that Spirit, the one that leads us into all truth, as we discern these things, we are able to make just and right decisions that guide us as part of the army of God. So this is very important. It's very important. But unfortunately, many people miss this because they are so used to being led by their emotions, which is of the natural, as opposed to being led by the Spirit. So if we would get more used to walking in the Spirit, okay, denying the flesh, whatever the flesh wants, if we are, you know, if we were to deny the flesh more and walk in the Spirit, we would be able to see things more clearly. This is why God encourages us, you know, to both pray and to fast, because this is what builds up the Spirit that's inside of every believer. And as you built up in the Spirit and as you become stronger in the Spirit, whatever you experience in the flesh will become less and less, and God becomes greater and greater inside of the believer. So that's all I wanted to say. Maybe I said a little too much, but these things are important that we talk about. It's a good discussion.
Amen. Amen. Want to thank you, Reverend Ellison. I don't want to thank you so much. And we're going to take a 30-second break. I'll be right back with Brother Elder Harris, and then we're going to come back with Brother Booker. But, you know, I look at what you shared about the society and all this that's going on, and I don't know, but we know where there's unity, there is strength. The enemy knows where there's unity, there's strength. And we see this in the natural that's trying to pull away the strength and cause separation. And not only you see it in the natural when you have a discerning spirit, you see it in the Spirit that this is happening. And because the enemy knows his time is running out, and the more the time approaches for his time to run out, he's popping his head up, doing everything that he can, seeking whom he may devour. We'll be right back with To Beat the Odds right after this.
We'll be right back with more right after this important message.
This was so easy.
That was quick.
No envelopes to lick.
No deposit slips to fill out.
A lot less paper to deal with.
I'd like that.
I just feed in my check, feed the cash right in, and
boom.
There it goes.
It reads my check, counts my cash.
Adds it all up.
How does it do that?
It even shows me what kind of bills I deposited.
420, 110, 25.
Amazing.
Look. Here's a check, right on the receipt.
Genius. Fast, easy.
I could get used to this.
Quick and easy ATM deposits with Bank of America.
Thank you, and welcome back to Beat the Odds, the number one talk show here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. Our topic, how can you tell you have a discerning spirit? Elder Harris.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. We are back, and I know that you want to share a little bit concerning the topic this morning.
Okay. Yes, I would. While we were sitting there, while I was sitting here listening, I thought about just before my husband died. I want to think it might have been about 3 days. I was sitting at my computer, talking to a friend over in Oregon. And the way my living room was situated, the end of my sofa was maybe 3 feet from my bedroom door. And I could sense a crackling. You know how electricity sounds, this little crackling sound. I could detect that something was there. So I turned around and I looked. I bent over and I looked at the end of the sofa. I knew something was there, but I couldn't see it. But and somehow or another, I understood it was there. That was there. And it scared me so bad, I said, let me get up and go to bed. If I die, I will be dead. And the same thing happened for two nights. I could feel this presence, but I couldn't see this presence. On the third night, my husband died. I didn't hear that, see that presence anymore. Had I known then what I know now, I could have spoke that presence out of my house. Even though I knew it was there, that was that there, because I felt like, okay, I thought it was me that death had come for. It didn't occur to me that it was my husband, but it was right there at my bedroom door. And I thought, okay, something's going on here. I'm getting ready to leave. So I prayed and I got into bed again. But on that third night, before bedtime, my husband died. So I knew later, looking back at it, that was the Lord letting me know that one of us was getting ready to go. And he doesn't do anything without a warning you that he's going to do it. It might be something that we don't understand at the time. But the more we keep reading in the Word, the more we understand what God is doing. Because the Word is who God is. His Word and God is synonymous. Because when you get in that Word, it's something that it's almost like you can see what he's saying is coming to pass. And then when something gets ready to happen, somehow or another you can sense it, even if you don't know. If there's not a knowing in your knower, for a better way of saying it, you know that something is getting ready to go down. Just like this virus, I felt in my spirit before it happened that something was getting ready to go down. The lady that lived next door to me came home in January. She said, my brother died. And I had a sense that there was a foreboding that something bigger than we could see was getting ready to happen. I didn't know what it was, but I connected that lady's death, her brother's death, with what's going on now, and didn't know how to connect it up. But I knew it had something to do with it. So God warns us, his saints, not just us, but his saints, those that study his word, those that love him, those that want to talk to him. And when you pray a lot in your prayer language, because see, the Holy Ghost that lives in you is the other part of the triune God, and he knows what's going to happen. So he knows what to pray about. And a lot of people kick tongues to the side and don't want to acknowledge it, but those tongues that you're speaking is the third part of the Trinity. And he knows what's going to happen, so he knows what to pray about. So if we pray, we can have more discernment of the Spirit, because God will show us. Sometimes it's not in what we can understand, but it's enough to let us know that something is getting ready to go down big. That's all I have to say about that.
Amen. 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 All right, Brother Booker.
Well, you know, Reverend Kearney, man, this has just been, for me, this has just been super powerful today. And I just want to add that we live in a politically charged environment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things that's counting on how things are going to go. You know, not only in this election, but in this world. And we know
mm-hmm.
that especially in the last days, the Bible speaks about there's going to come a great deception.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the enemy is the master deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
But God has given us something, someone, should I say, to counterbalance that, to overcome that. And he's given us the Holy Spirit because, again, you know, discernment diametrically opposes deception. If we have the Holy Spirit, Reverend Kearney, we have the edge. We have the edge in every aspect of life. We are on the cutting edge. We will operate on the cutting edge of society, of spirituality, if we have the Holy Spirit. It's vitally important. I mean, discernment is going to determine the course of this nation. So not only do we need to make sure that we stay plugged in to the Holy Spirit, but we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to pray for the people around us that they may have discernment, because discernment is going to decide the course of which way things go in this nation. That's all I got to say about Reverend Kearney.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank you, Brother Booker. Our time has ran out. We are right at 14 minutes after the hour. And once again, I want to thank all of you so much for taking time out on the topic today. And we're going to be right back here on Monday of next week. Those of you, if you want to go back and listen to the repeat, we will be on this coming Wednesday at 1 o'clock. You can tune in at 1 on Wednesday. Again, want to thank all of you so much, and I look forward for you coming back with us on Monday. We got a hot topic. I'm not going to give out it right at this moment, but stay posted to our Facebook page, and you'll see the topic for next week. But you got to tune in and hear what we're going to be discussing. All right, well, I want to thank all of you again. Reverend Ellison, if you could lead us with a short word of prayer, and we want to thank you so much.
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. And Lord, we just bless your holy name. Surely there is none like you in all of the earth. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, everlasting Father. Lord, we thank you for this discussion, and we pray, Lord God, for all that are listening, that, Lord, that you would lead and guide them by way of your Spirit. And those who have not yet accepted Jesus as Lord, Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, to their minds, that they would understand the day in which we are living. And it is so vital, so important, Lord God, that they be born again. Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Mind if I testify and tell you of the goodness of my Lord? Share some of what he's done for me, how he's opened up so many doors. You may look at me from the outside and think I got here on my own, but there's no way that you could ever know how much grace and mercy I've been shown. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you see life has tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing his name, Jesus. Loves me, and I know this, 'cause he died for me and he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. His name is Jesus, yet he loves me, and I know this, 'cause he said it to me when he rescued me. There's no greater love.
how he made a way for me. If he hadn't loved me through the mistakes that I made, I just don't know where I would be. Oh, he showed me so much favor, and now I understand amazing grace. Through all of the pain, all of the shame, I realize there is nothing that could take your place. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you will see life has truly tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason, he's the reason.
We living.
Martin, sweet
For y'all. Mama wrote this long, long time ago. On August the 26th, y'all know Hurricane Irene came through here. But on that Friday night, the 26th, we were invited to go to the Kennedy Center and sing for the opening of the Martin Luther King Memorial. We headed up there Friday because the weather was still good. And so we got a chance to actually do our concert that night. And we just wanted to share with you Mama's tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. Amen? All right, we're going to do this. And we hope you enjoy it.
You put anyone truly a child of God. For he has such a wonderful theme. He said, I have a dream. One day we'll all be free.
Become clear that the technique of mass nonviolent direct action has not only become the accepted method of the civil rights movement, but beyond that, the vast majority of all Americans now support and approve it. What began as a limited expression of protest 10 years ago in Montgomery, Alabama, to integrate a bus line has grown into a national phenomenon. As history spiral over a decade, the movement returned to Montgomery and involved in direct action nuns and priests, rabbis, Protestant ministers, and laity of every race, social class, and age. Many observers have been surprised and even shocked by these methods. The enemies of the civil rights movement have been quick and vocal to denounce them as undemocratic pressure tactics and even un-American in philosophy. Yet the truth is that no one can scorn nonviolent direct action or civil disobedience without canceling out American history. The first nonviolent direct action did not occur in Montgomery. Its roots go back to the American Revolution, and the boycott against British tea, culminating in the Boston Tea Party. It was the favorite weapon of the suffragette movement when women had to fight for their right to vote. It was a technique the trade unions employed to organize the mass production industries. Many here tonight can recall the events of the 30s when federal court injunctions crippled and stifled union organization. Even a Wagner Act could not facilitate a breakthrough. When the now historic sit-down strikes burst forth in 1937, a new national attitude congealed. And through the Congress of Industrial Organizations, a new major movement was born. Then, too, the nation was warned that the profit system was a target of this new form of struggle. Nearly three decades later, we're able to see that the profit system was not only unimpaired, but became significantly strengthened. If that is some confusion about the origins of nonviolent direct action, that is even more about civil disobedience. The two methods are not synonymous. Civil disobedience, in its true sense, has not been employed by Negroes in their struggle. To utilize civil disobedience in its authentic historical form involves defiance of fundamental national law. For example, when Antigone insisted upon her right to follow her individual conscience and religious convictions to bury her brother, she was defying the king and the unqualified majesty of his law. When the Quakers refused to return runaway slaves, they were defying the Supreme Court in the Dred Scott decision. When Thoreau refused to pay taxes in protest against the Mexican War, he was breaking a fundamental legislative enactment and opposing the declaration of war of the Congress. And certainly we all understand this, and I heartily approve of civil disobedience in a creative sense in many instances. But we must see that the Negro today, when he marches in the streets, is not practicing civil disobedience because he is not challenging the Constitution, the Supreme Court, or the enactments of Congress. Instead, he seeks to uphold them. He may be violating local municipal ordinances or state laws, but it is these laws which constitute basic national law. Negroes, by their direct action, are exposing the contradiction. The civil disobedience, or I should say uncivil disobedience in the situation resting on unjust foundations, is that of the segregationists. Negroes have not willfully and frivolously violated the law. Many good-hearted people believe they do exactly that, and forgive them on grounds that they endured appalling grievances. Yet these people forgive them for misdeeds they are not committing. The truly unsocial lawbreaker disregards law because he as an individual is seeking a personal advantage. Negroes have never forgotten, even under the crushing burdens of injustice, that they are connected with the larger society, and that the roads they may obstruct, And the public buildings they picket are used in common by all citizens. For that reason, before a protest can be approved by responsible leadership, they must answer the following questions. One, do we have a just grievance? Or is our purpose merely to create confusion for its own sake as a form of revenge? Two, have we first used every form of normal means to eliminate the problem by negotiation, petition, and appropriate appeals to authority? Three, having found these channels useless or forcibly closed to us, when we embark upon any type of lawbreaking, are we prepared to accept the consequences society will inflict and to maintain, even under punishment, a sense of brotherhood? Four, do we have a clear program to relieve injustice which does not inflict injustice upon others? And is that program reasonable and grounded in the ethics and best traditions of our society? In establishing these prerequisite conditions before employing direct action, the civil rights movement meets its responsibility to society and fulfills its obligations to democratic principle. Even after the movement embarks upon a program of nonviolent direct action, a civil disobedience, its purposes are not narrowly confined to attain benefits exclusively for the Negro. It is an axiom of nonviolent action and democracy that when any group struggles properly and justly to achieve its own rights, it enlarges the rights of all. This element is what makes both democracy and nonviolent action self-renewing and creative. What advantages have all Americans derived from the growth of nonviolent direct action and civil rights? First, the struggle dissolves the deceptive facade and reveals basic evils and contradictions in the society. Tens of millions of Americans a decade ago were ignorant of the actual conditions of life of the Negro, both in the North and in the South. Until there was awareness, there could be no consensus to make corrections. The long list of federal legislative enactments and Supreme Court decisions illustrate how extensive were the wrongs that blighted our society. Second, programs for remedying evils are not confined in their effects to Negroes. When Negroes took to the streets to demand job opportunities for themselves, they helped to stimulate a broad war on poverty concept, which ultimately will benefit more whites than Negroes. When Negroes, by direct action, seek to participate in the electoral process, they awaken the apathetic white who so took his rights for granted that he neglected to use them. When Negroes boycotted schools, they did more than reveal classroom discrimination. They brought to the fore such criticisms as those of Dr. Conant, who had long charged we were seeking to utilize 19th century educational methods in conditions of 20th century urbanization, pushing through the issue of desegregation. That emerged a new and startling question of paramount importance to the whole population. What is quality education and how is it attained for all under conditions of population growth, automation, and redistribution of population in sprawling cities? Sociologists will find much to ponder in the striking fact that after the futile efforts to achieve brotherhood and ecumenicity by discussion and conferences, In the streets of Selma and Montgomery and at the Lincoln Memorial, there was the greatest and warmest expression of religious unity of Catholic, Protestant, and Jew in the nation's history. One of the most profound of all results of the Negro upsurge has been its effect upon the youth of the nation. From the student-led sit-ins of 1960, an awakening of social thought and action has swept the campuses of the nation. In addition to overcoming the stultifying effects of McCarthyism, the movement has, in a few years, changed the total description of American youth. From the silent generation, they have become the morally and socially concerned generation. From the single issue of civil rights, interest has broadened to questions of peace and poverty. From exclusively student involvement, the issues now have become the concern of faculty and scholars of every description. It is noteworthy that the vibrant movement to reexamine our foreign policy, which the government now respects and welcomes, borrowed its title, Teach-Ins, from the Civil Rights Movement. The student awakening and the student mass action rest upon no specific political tendency, but impresses the whole democratic political spectrum. I have discussed the social effects of nonviolent mass direct action at length, because I believe it is too often limited in its application merely to the civil rights movement. Perhaps if there had been a broader understanding of the uses of nonviolent direct action in Germany when Hitler was rising and consolidating his power, the brutal extermination of 6 million Jews and millions of other war dead might have been averted, and Germany might never have become totalitarian if Protestants and Catholics had engaged in nonviolent direct action and had made the oppression of the Jews their very own oppression and had come into the streets beside the Jew to scrub the sidewalks and had Gentiles worn the stigmatizing yellow armbands by the millions. A unique form of mass resistance to the Nazi regime might have developed. I'm fully aware. I am fully aware of the terror, the intimidation, the brutality, and the force the fascists were so quick to use. But I am also aware that in the South today, some races of the same mentality have been curbed in their resistance to nonviolent action when practiced on a mass scale. Today, people all over the world should be engaging in mass action to protest anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union. That is a dangerous silence today, which unintentionally encourages evil to flourish. Was Albert Einstein right when he said, "The world is in greater peril from those who tolerate evil than from those who actively commit it"? Did not President Kennedy warn that those who do nothing are inviting shame as well as violence? Will the nation ever forget the searing impact Rabbi Joachim Prince's admonition as he spoke at the March on Washington in 1963. When I was a rabbi of the Jewish community in Berlin under the Hitler regime, I learned many things. The most important thing that I learned in my life and under tragic circumstances is that bigotry and hatred are not the most urgent problems. The most urgent, the most disgraceful, the most shameful, and the most tragic problem is silence. A great people which had created a great civilization had become a nation of silent onlookers. They remained silent in the face of hate, in the face of brutality, and in the face of mass murder. America must not become a nation of onlookers. America must not remain silent. Not merely black America, but all of America. It must speak up and act from the president down to the humblest of us, and not for the sake of the Negro, but for the sake of the image, the idea, and the aspiration of America itself.
It came through Allen and Nelson Street like a jet. And now it's headed to Duplin County, Wausau, North Carolina, the Tent Crusade, taking back the territory, 2015.
Oh, worship him, worship him. Dr. Betty Hack has brought forth a powerful prayer, and we are standing by to pray with you if you desire private prayer. Dial 347-215-8049. 347-215-8049. Worship the Lord. Worship him. Join us as we worship him.
We offer our lives. We offer our lives. We offer our lives. We're coming back to worship as it truly is. Sorry for the thing we made. We bring you more than our song tonight. But we offer our lives. We offer our lives. Jesus. Please make me whole. I surrender all. In your presence tonight, please cleanse my soul. Please make me whole. I surrender all. Is there anybody else in this place like that? Sing, please. Everything in my life, Lord, you can have it. Please, please make me whole. I surrender all. And I worship you in the beauty of holiness. Cleanse my soul.
Catch the wave on the NFI.